Welcome to Torah to the Nations, where we study the Hebrew roots of our faith, brought to you by Tree of Life Outlet in Lincoln City. Phone lines are open at 503-316-1220 or contact Don at thejctown.com or Jamie at thejctown.com.
Shalom out there in Torah land, you Torah seekers. Good morning from T2TN. And hey, Don, hey, you're looking good this morning. What's going on?
That's because I'm feeling good.
I got one of those Holy Spirit
things going on. The rain. Unlike a lot of people, I like the rain.
The rain, too.
It comes down, the better. But you see, I don't have to work outside. So for all you guys, who are out there in the rain with the wet running down your tail end, I'm really sorry for you, and I'm praying for you today.
Yeah, amen. Well, it was a beautiful, it's really, I fell asleep. I woke up at 4. I'm on that jet lag thing, and I woke up, and I had to get up and do something until about 5:36, and then I said, I got to go to sleep. And so I put Jim Staley on, and I went back to sleep and almost overslept. Yeah, I just put it one of his. Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Hey, Jim, what kind of news coverage are you guys getting back there as far as this flotilla business? Is it all pretty one-sided, or are you hearing at least kind of what happened? And we're talking about
my side?
Yeah, from your end of the nation, and what are you hearing?
Well, they just did a special where they had the Palestinian, one of the Palestinians on, and then right after that they had one of the Israeli folks on, and it seemed fairly balanced, but it definitely, at least for sure yesterday, came across as the Israelis weren't even in Israeli waters, that they were mean, that they were pushing beyond their legal limits, and today, of course, a little bit more information has come out to lend to the idea that the Israelis really were the ones that were provoked. So,
yeah, when I first heard about it Sunday evening, that was all I was hearing, that the Israeli IDF had gone on illegally and taken over these poor peace-seeking humanitarians and so on. And, of course, we knew that wasn't true from looking at some of the outsource files, but I guess in Europe primarily, they're still getting a lot of the one-sided coverage. So we want to just make sure and mention that this so-called peace flotilla was warned and directed to go to the port of Ashdod and have their cargo searched. Because why would the Israeli government take a chance on letting nuclear or chemical or biological weapons come into these waters that are their business to take care of without having a little bit of a search? So when they actually rappelled down onto this one ship that they couldn't stop because it was too big, as you saw, I hope that you all saw that the soldiers who came to check out the cargo were beaten and stabbed and thrown overboard and so on. And so they had to use self-defense techniques, of course, to try and keep from getting killed as they were doing their job. So just so that we do our part to keep everything on the up and up around here.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know how they restrain the way they do. I mean, they just go overboard to make sure that the people and they really do everything possible before they take aggressive action, is what I've seen over and over and over again. And how do you do that, Jim? I mean, if you go to war, you go to war. You got to be ready to fight. But they really are remarkably disciplined people.
Well, the problem is that people forget that we are, because we're removed, you know, all the way over the pond here in the United States, we forget that although we say that we're on a war on terror, that there's a war on terror, they live the war on terror. And so with a country the size of New Jersey, they have to protect themselves. And we really forget that they are in the middle of a war, and they're preparing for war right now, and they absolutely cannot afford ships to come in that are bearing weapons or anything that could be used against the Israelis in a potential upcoming battle or war. So Can we blame the Israelis for combing through a ship to make sure there's nothing on it? And then the question becomes for me is very simple. If they're just combing through the ship, why is there resistance on the ship at all if they have nothing to hide? So that's really been my question the whole time.
Yep. And, you know, the tension, you know, I was just left there, the tension on the up in Lebanon, the coast, where they're building up this, they're building up troops to invade Israel. I mean, it's obvious that things are being prepared for a war. Everybody knows it in that country. It just is getting more and more heated every day. They hear about things, they see things. So the civilian public, the civilians are the ones that are going to be damaged here. They're going to be attacked as if they're the military. So it's a pretty intense situation over there right now.
All right. I understand you were on GLC last night. That's probably the one you taped a week ago?
Yes. Went down to GLC and about killed myself down there in taping. That's the first time that I've taped that much in a 48-hour period. They had asked me to be a programmer, which I did not realize until I was down there, but I had one two-hour teaching to do and then 12 half-hour shows to record in a 48-hour period, and so I was on 3 hours of sleep both nights, but we got it done, and I'm excited to say that the response has been awesome on the teaching. And although I tell you that the enemy does not want this message out for the first time in forever, right when my teaching was supposed to be played at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the entire satellite went down for GLC.
Oh boy.
So it did not even get to play at one of the prime times in the afternoon on Tuesday, which was kind of a bummer. But it's all good, and we got a new teaching that just came out on the Sabbath, and we'll see what happens.
Well, that's exciting. Really, that's great. I mean, it's too bad that got missed, but that's the one everybody's going to have to demand they get to see. That's going to be a hot one.
Well, I want to encourage everyone, since we don't do video here and we want you to make sure and get messages that are out from all the teachers all the time, the more you know, as long as you're putting it into practice, the better you're going to be able to implement and use the information that's out there. And there's no excuse for us not to know anything anymore. So go to GLC, or I would encourage you also go to waytozion.com. With Jason does a good service of putting up a lot of different teachers for, you know, a few messages and so on.
And we will have, as soon as they get us the tape, we will have the Sabbath teaching available at Passion for Truth, passionfortruth.com. And so really this teaching is a very, it's an in-depth, thorough macro and micro look at the Sabbath. It starts off in Genesis, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation. It goes through every argument that has ever been brought up to say that the Sabbath is been done away with. It's been changed because Jesus rose on Sunday. It leaves really no stone unturned. And then on top of that, near the end, it goes through and I explain how you can keep, what does the scripture say on how we keep the Sabbath, and what are some practical ideas, and I give some kind of family personal testimony of some things that we have been doing as a family just to give people ideas. So it's really meant to be not just apologetic but very practical as well, and I think this is going to be something that will be a very, at least in our neck of the woods, will be very popular for new people that are looking at the Sabbath and they're feeling led to keep it, but they're not really exactly sure that they're supposed to, and on top of that, they're not really sure how. I think this would really help them.
That's really good, though. That's exactly what we're trying to do here on the Hebrew Nation website that we're building, is let everyone, that's the thing, we get convicted by the Holy Spirit to change our lives and start following our Father, the rules of our Father's house, and then we don't really know how. I mean, we know we're supposed to, but okay, now what? So that's really a good practical thing that we have to start doing, is telling our people how we do what our Father tells us to do.
And one of the things, too, is it's, you know, Sabbath is something that's so wonderful that it's not that difficult. Our Heavenly Father made it so that we can really enjoy the time with him and our families. And it's, you know, it's not as restricted as somebody might think. There's not, you know, in the Bible itself, in the scriptures, there's not that many rules and regulations. Those have been added by our friends who have decided they want to give us a way to walk it out in every detail. But in the scripture itself, I'm sure you show that it's a practical way of keeping Sabbath. It's just really a beautiful thing.
Well, Jim, I actually have a listener question about that. And it's let's see if I can find that on the list here. Why do we go to church on Sunday rather than Saturday, and who should observe the Sabbath? That's one you want to tackle? I mean, you're probably right up on that one.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I address that in the teaching. Really, the Sabbath was given in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, if I recall. And it says that he, out of all the 7 days, he worked for 6 days, and then he set apart the seventh day, and he made it holy. And the word there, set apart, is kadosh. And what's interesting about at least the logic that I use is I don't think there's anybody that would disagree that that before the fall, it was Yahweh's intention that heaven and earth be perfect, and that the garden was perfect. Matter of fact, I'll use his terminology. He said it was very good. And so I would tend to believe that everything that he did in the garden, God did not intend for man to sin and to blow it and for all of creation to groan and fall apart. I think it was created to work forever. And everything that was created inside the garden, all the parameters and the rules, were intended to be forever. He never intended, you know, the rule to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was forever. It was an eternal rule, and they broke it. And in the same way, the institution of setting apart, making holy one a special day from all the other days was done before the fall, and its intention was to be forever. And we find that out to be true in the mere fact that not only by the time that the Mosaic Law gets here, he institutes it again, he reemphasizes it, and even puts it in stone that it's going to be forever, and we are to remember it. It is the seal of his people. But at the end of time, when the Messiah, Yeshua, comes back, he reinstitutes it again in Isaiah 56, I believe it is, or 66, and he says that that all nations will be subject to worshiping from Sabbath, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. And so we see this that God somehow cares about it before man falls. He cares about it after man falls through the Mosaic Covenant, but somehow at the time of the Messiah, he doesn't care about it for the last 2,000 years of human history, and then all of a sudden he comes back and he cares about it again. That is an inconsistent God. That is, quite frankly, a God that is changing, and we serve one that does not change. So the first thing I would say about the Sabbath is it's eternal, and just by the mere fact that it's given in Genesis and it shows up again in Revelation kind of proves that. Secondly, who it was given to, the children of Israel, the children of God is actually who it was given to. Now, the listener might say, well, there you go, Jim, it wasn't given to me, I'm a Gentile. Whoa, we got to slow down, because when they left Egypt, remember, there was a mixed multitude that went up with them, and Moses went to Yahweh and said, hey, listen, we got a problem. All these Egyptian guys have defected from the army. They want to come with us. They want to be subject to you. Can they do that? They're not native-born Israelites, and we know that the covenant is going to be given to us only. And God looks down at Moses, and he says, listen, hey, and of course I'm paraphrasing. He says, Moses, that's not the case. Although I have chosen you guys to be the captain of the team, I will allow anyone to be on my team as long as they are circumcised, keep my Passover and my commandments. They will be one law for both the native-born and the sojourner, and I will treat them as a native-born. So we see for the very first time in history a grafting in, the precedent of grafting in of Romans 11 that Paul will talk about centuries later is found right here in the book of Exodus. So the bottom line is that the captains of the team are the Israelites. Their job was to be a light to the world, and to take this commandment, this law.
Jim, we're going to take a break
and
right
keep
there.
It so they can bless the rest of the world.
We'll be right back after these quick
messages. Be sure to call in and ask about the Sabbath. 503-316-1220.
Well, Jamie, that lack of music there means that I was waiting for you to come back, and I didn't even pay attention to what we were doing. So, hey.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, Jim, that this Sabbath. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, because we cut you off right in the middle of it.
We were talking about to where you were, if you lost your train of thought there. We were just you were talking about who the children of Israel are, and when we say, well, we shouldn't be keeping Sabbath because we're not Hebrews or Jews or whatever. But go ahead and finish that up, if you would.
And that is, in my opinion, the strongest proof in the Bible that that is intended to be forever, that when he says that it's the seal of his people and he says that it's a law that's instituted forever, we know that that word forever means forever because it was instituted forever and it will be brought back forever. And then the people of God who it was given to, it was given to the Israelites, and they were to take that and be a light to the nations. He gives provision in Exodus, and revealing here that that he allows that those that want to be part of the children of God, that those that want to be grafted in, can be called native-born Hebrews, Israelites, as long as they keep his Passover and his Sabbath and keep his commandments, they will be as native-born Israelites. And so it's really important, and everything that I teach always revolves back to who it was given to. And that's why I have a teaching called Identity Crisis, because in America, in Christianity, we really have an identity crisis. We don't understand who we are, and so we completely dichotomize between who the commandments were given to and who we are, and we separate those two, not realizing there is only one chosen people on planet Earth for all time, and it is those that love God and those that are following what he wants us to do. There cannot be two peoples of God. He says there's one law for the native-born and the sojourner. There cannot be a law for the native-born and a law for the sojourner or the Gentile. It doesn't work like that. There's only one law. And that's why in Romans chapter 11 and also Ephesians chapter 2, for you Bible students out there, you'll remember that Paul says that you who were once far off have been brought near to the covenants of promise, the covenants with an S. And Romans 11 says that you are grafted in to the olive tree, and we know from Jeremiah 11 that the olive tree is called Israel, with Yeshua as the root of Jesse. And so if we are grafted into Israel and we're grafted into citizenship, fellow citizens with the household of God, and we are made partakers of all the covenants, then we have to ask the question, well, are we really 21st century Western American Christians, or are we really Israelite Hebrews in origin? And so the Sabbath question becomes very simple. It's the fourth commandment. It's the very first commandment that connects us to him. After I am God, no idols, and don't take my name in vain, he says, remember the Sabbath. And what is he asking us to remember back to? All the way back to the garden. Because when you keep the Sabbath, here's a neat thought, when you keep the Sabbath, you're actually entering in back into the rest that he intended for all mankind before the fall. You're entering back into a pre-fall era of bliss, if you will. That's what it was intended to be like, with Sabbath every day. So to answer your caller's question, yes, it's given to all mankind, specifically to his people, and then to all the nations, and it's given for all time.
You know, being in Israel and seeing that Sabbath, it's such a wonderful thing to see families and people that really understand and do this on a weekly basis. The whole nation shuts down. And doing that, one of the things that I really, just talking about this, see that how the Hebrew words themselves just tell the story. This particular word is in your Strong's Concordance. It's spelt with a sheen and a bet, and then it has a tov. And, of course, when you see the sheen, you know that that is representing chaos and things that can be devoured. And you see the house, which always represents his house to me, because everything comes through him and through his house. when you take the chaos of the world, it won't enter into your house on the Sabbath. And the Tov, which always to me reminds me of what Yeshua did by completing on the cross what he came to do of the covenant. And we see that the Sabbath is a time for us to remember that this is the day that God has made for man. And even the number 7676 in the lexicon on Strong's, seven being the completeness of Yahweh, of man, and six being the number of man, you know, God is completely spiritual. And then he, in order for man, he makes that available. 7676 is the number. And it just, even in the numerical part of it, I got introduced to a Kohanim over in Israel, Ariel Cohen, who's very much into numerical significance of the letters. And so I'm kind of looking at that a little differently. It's fascinating how accurate the word is.
We received a Skype message from Martin over in Macaroon Muster, Ireland, just now. And he's listening to us at thejcetown.com and also on t2tn.com. And he wanted to chime in with Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, and remind us that the Sabbath is a delight, according to Isaiah 58.
That's great.
Yeah.
Around the world.
And so I want to encourage everybody and remind them that you can listen any place at any time to this 24-hour Hebraic station. And let your friends and family know, because we are here to serve you. And if you have more programming, in fact, Jim, thank you for the CDs that you sent out. We'll be having Jim Staley on a regular basis here as soon as we get some of those edited down to 25-minute shows. And you can call in if you're local, 503-316-1220. Or you can email me during the program here, don@thejcetown.com. And afterwards as well, jamie@thejcetown.com. We can get your questions up if you're too shy to come on board with us. But we'd like for you to call in at 503-316-1220.
You know, I just got back, Jim, and I'm really excited because we want to continue. We've had several people come and get the DVD that we've got from you, and we're getting them out. But we need to really get a fire lit and get some people going, because we want to just shake up this area with the truth on tradition. And we've got the DVD, we got the material, we got the guns loaded. Now all we got to do is do some attacking.
Yeah, I need to remind people too, if you gave a pledge, I know I haven't been very diligent on reminding you, but if you gave a pledge and haven't paid it, you need to do that, because we've made obligation to buy a certain number of these and we need to pay for them now. So it'd be helpful if we got some money in to do that with.
Yeah, and the reports that we're getting, people that are watching this, I mean, we're getting some dramatic changes with all kinds of different folks. I saw an email from someone that is sent you, Don. I think he didn't want to – he actually emailed on our site, and he said that he'd gotten into this through Truth and Tradition, and it had really made a change in his life. He said he just wasn't going to put up with this anymore. In his life, as a matter of fact, I think he was either in the military or law enforcement, and he said, "This got to come to a stop."
I don't know that I saw that one. You'll have to make sure I see that. Sounds fun. Well, one of the things that we want to continue on with Jim about is we've talked about the Sabbath quite a bit, but you know, if you would look at this Truth and Tradition DVD. The one thing that you'll get out of it is that we have origins and in the Christian faith, and that we are mixing holy and unholy. And that's something that's really strictly out of bounds and prohibited in Scripture. Jim, I know that you go into it on the DVD, of course, but for those who are just tuning in here, just getting a first-time shot at this whole Hebraic understanding or this whole Bible understanding, why is it so bad to have some traditions that came from outside the faith of the Bible?
Well, that's a loaded, gunned question for sure. But let's work through this. Let me just give real-life examples, because I'm a really big believer that we relate to ourselves and we relate to our own situation. So let me ask the listeners out there, let's pretend that you wives that are listening, if your husband, before he married you, dated a girl for 10 years, and her birthday was on April 18th, and every year on April 18th, he took her out in a 1969 red Mustang to the movie theaters or whatever he did with her in that car. Well, then he decides to marry you. And 1 year halfway through the year, he says, "You know, honey, I am so used to celebrating birthdays, my girlfriend's birthday on April 18th. Would it be okay if we change your birthday to April 18th? Because it's just easier for me to remember, and quite frankly, the day is not really that important. Let's just move your matter of fact, let's move our anniversary to April 18th as well, and we'll get it all done at one time." The question becomes, well, how would you feel about your husband not only changing the date of your birthday and anniversary to the date and anniversary of his old girlfriend, but what if he bought you a 1969 red Mustang on top of that, knowing exactly what and how that Mustang was used in the past? And I don't believe that you probably would be with your husband very long if he chose to say those words or do those things. But in the same way, our God says he's a jealous God. And he says that we are not allowed to mix the holy with the profane, that whatever he says is holy, which we can say that anniversaries and birthdays, for all intents and purposes, for us, are set-apart days. They're holy days, if you will. In the same way, from his perspective, his days are holy. And he says, the way that you approach me is holy, and I don't want you to bring any strange fire before me. I don't want you to bring anything that used to be used from some other pagan god. I don't want you throwing holy water on it and saying that it's Christian or holy. It's only holy if I call it holy. And so we cannot come before God any old way and just waltz right into the Holy of Holies and say, you know, here art thou, I'm here to worship you. He only will accept a certain kind of worship. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, the Bible makes it very clear that sincere worship is not looking for. It does not matter if you're a sincere heart. The Mormons are sincere. The Jehovah's Witnesses are sincere. You know, the Buddhists are sincere. Every religion has sincerity. He's not just looking for sincerity. He's looking for sincerity and truth, spirit and in truth. And so we have to ask the question, well, how does he want us to worship him? How does he want us to approach him? And we tend to forget here in America that he's God and we are not, that he is the potter, that we are the clay, and whatever he says goes. We don't really like that. We like to do things our own way.
Mm. That's really good.
Well, that if you extend that on out to every situation, you know, that's not just on holidays that we do keep, as far as Christmas and Easter or Halloween or St. Patrick's Day or whatever it is that may have had a different origin. That also includes adding to and taking away from the word. And so we have a whole set of calendar items that we've said these aren't good enough, they don't fit into our lives, we're not going to worship. So sometimes we get on the negative side of things and say, well, don't do this. We forget about the things that we're supposed to be doing.
And I love that about the way that there are so many wonderful festivals that we can do to keep us on the positive end of this. Our Heavenly Father put the appointed times in place so that we would have not just one or two of these occasions, but at least seven and many more to remember. The Sabbath is always one every week to remember the wonderful times that we have to rejoice and celebrate. Our Father enjoyed having a good time. He loves us to party. So,
you know, you're exactly right, and that's what's so exciting. Like, for instance, with the Truth or Tradition, you know, when people watch that DVD, the reason why it changes their life, it is not the DVD itself that changes their life. It's the fact that they have never been challenged to do things God's way because they never realized that some of the things that they're doing aren't His way. And when they see the history of where some of these things come from, those that are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, those that are truly followers of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, they're very uncomfortable in keeping Christmas and Easter when they see just the history and the facts behind where they come from. And the next thing that begs in their spirit, is in their void, is, well, what else is out there that I don't know of, and how do I, what can I do besides Christmas and Easter? And then they begin to look into the holy days of the Bible, the days that Yahweh has set apart for his people, the ones that he says, these are my holy days. These aren't Jewish holy days or Israelite holy days or even Hebrew holy days. These are my holy days. And there's so many exciting holy days that probably by far, I get so many emails from people that say, I cannot believe I did not do this before. I cannot believe I didn't know about Passover or about the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Trumpets or never celebrated Shavuot before. And this is transforming my family, keeping the Sabbath and keeping the holy days. Well, here's why it transforms your family and why you get so people get so their life changes when they begin to follow the Bible, because your caller brought up one of the number
Jim,
one verses
gonna take,
that I use.
We're going to take the rest of that illustration right after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay. All
right.
Come back.
And we're back with you with Tour to the Nations, broadcasting on KC, and what are we at? The
KPJC right here. Yeah. M1220 around the world on T2TN.com. And you brought up an interesting thing.
Well, I just got an email from a friend of ours, William Sanford, who mm-hmm. I think, Jim, you might even know, Bill. But this is about, I guess, Turkey has announced that they're going to send another flotilla to the Gaza escorted by the Turkish Navy. And if they do this, this is actually a definition of throwing down the gauntlet here.
Well, that's an act of war, going into somebody else's waters, territorial waters.
So. Yeah, and bringing a warship. So does Israel really want a war? Well, no, Israel doesn't want a war, but I think the rest of the world wants a war, wants Israel to react. So it's pretty high stakes on this one. Yeah, things are happening now. Yesterday I got an email showing that was actually from Google Earth. It showed all these different vehicles that are being set up by the UN to house and take people, to transport them to somewhere. There's 4,000 of them sitting at a kind of an obscure airport down in Florida, which was very interesting.
Yeah, you can actually – this is really interesting, Jim. If anybody wants this, email Jamie at thejctown.com, and he can forward that to you. But it's an actual picture of 4,000 UN vehicles sitting on a tarmac at a wooded airport in Florida. And this same email said this is actually not a unique thing, that these bases are setting all over the United States.
Yeah, it's basically for preparation for martial law is what they said the email was about. So there's things around us, and they're continuing to heat up. This particular situation we had in the Gulf where the oil spill, this has been so covered up. This is the biggest disaster this country, the world, has ever seen like this. And the Talmud has written about this. It talks about oil and water mixing in the end times right before the Mashiach comes. It's a huge part of – it's a big article in the Talmud, or big many pages of study on that. So that's a very interesting topic. I know that David Matthews has studied that down in Mississippi, and we can get him on the air and talk about that.
Mm. Well, just before the break, Jim was on with us, and we were talking about mixing holy and unholy, and Jim was giving us some practical, real-life illustrations about the difference, and he had brought us up just real quickly about if you had an old girlfriend and you were celebrating the holidays on your wife's, yeah, or rather her birthday, on your wife's birthday and anniversary and so on. So, Jim, why don't you go ahead and fill that out some more?
I want to definitely come back to oil and water, because I want to address that in just a minute. But basically what I was saying is that the reason why the teaching on truth of tradition is really making an impact into people's lives is because when they start to put down the traditions and the doctrines of men, which is three-quarters of the teaching of the New Testament, and they take up the commandments of God, like 1 John 5 says, those who love God are those who keep his commandments. And as we begin to follow the Sabbath and keep the holy days, and it's transforming lives and families, here's why. Because your caller brought this particular verse up, and this is one of the staple verses that I used in the teaching here. Listen, you want to be comfortable, you want to be happy, you want to be secure, you want to be full of life, and you want the joy of the Lord to just penetrate through you like every Christian says that we want. Well, here's the formula. It says this. If you keep, in Isaiah 58, 13, and 14, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. And there's not very many scriptures in the Bible compared to all the verses in the Bible that end with the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. In other words, it cannot be repealed. It is by executive rule and command and authority that I tell you these things. It is an if-then statement. It is a cause and effect. If you keep my Sabbath, if you do things my way, then you will find your joy in Yahweh. And I would really submit to a lot of your listeners and a lot of the people, you know, really not even a lot, probably to the majority of Christians out there, do not have joy. They've lost their joy in the Lord. There's whole books been written on how to find your joy in the Lord. And it's very simple. It's one verse. Here's how you find your joy. You do things His way, and He restores your joy. He's the one that brings joy, and He's the one that takes it away. He's the potter. We're the clay. It would behoove us to do things the way that He wants us to do them, to do it His way.
That is such a great observation, and it's actually a truth that I hope all of our listeners get, Jim, is that, you know, I've never been poorer in my life, but I've never had much more joy in knowing that I'm secure, that things are going to work out exactly as my Father wants them to, because I know that I'm following His way. And every day I wake up wondering, what wonderful thing is going to happen today? What miracle am I going to see in my life? What person is going to be brought into this understanding and share this joy with me? And it's the truth of just keeping Sabbath alone is such an amazing thing that you don't get. You don't have an understanding of, no comprehension of.
Well, you know, that's what changes. Almost everybody that I've ever talked to that's gotten into the movement of understanding these things, Sabbath is the key to changing their life. I know that with me, I was working, making over $100,000 a year, and I was the main guy that did all these car-related deals in finance. And I just said, hey, I'm not coming in on this day, the busiest day of the week, and said, fire me. And when you lay down that kind of commitment, you know, you find out what's going to happen. And fortunately with me, I had enough they said, we'll work around it. But, you know, that was then. I think we really have to make a stand. It will change your life. Everything gets accelerated. You get on a high track when you keep Sabbath. All of a sudden, you start doing the things that you never expected you would do, because Yahweh is going to bless you beyond your belief if you start keeping His commandments. Yeah. We want people to call in. We want people to call in and talk about that. 503-316-1220.
Yeah, we've only got 10 minutes left that you get to ask Jim questions. We want to hurry up and do that if you can. 503-316-1220. You can Skype in at DONWYANT is the one I have up on the screen right now if you're a Skyper. And also...
you can twit.
I don't know all that stuff. Twit Jim. I don't know. I don't know how to twit. So Don@thejctown.com.
Okay, we're just, you're too old, Don. I don't know.
You know, one thing to mention while we're waiting for callers, if they choose to call in, is that I just want to mention this, and I say this a lot from my pulpit here with our own congregation, is that anything that happens in the physical realm to a believer, or even in the earth realm, is typically a foreshadowing or a parallel of something that is happening in the spiritual realm or is going to happen in the spiritual realm. And so this huge, and it is, I mean, they're not playing this up as really what it is, but this is the largest natural disaster in world history that we know of this oil that is coming from the bottom of the sea that they just can't stop. And matter of fact, every single thing that they try has been for naught, and it's continually pouring out tens of thousands of gallons of oil a day. And if you look at this, just to open our minds a little bit, see, what is he actually up to? What is he saying? What is the message that he's saying? You know, well, one of the things that you might be able to say that he could be saying is this could be very, very prophetic, because oil is typically a representation of the Middle East. And water is in Scripture is always a representative of purity and a representative of His holy people. The purity of His water is the purity of His word, and His holy people are those that keep the word. And so really what you have is you have a mixture of oil, Middle Eastern descent, which is representative, of course, of Arabs mixing with the holy people and causing massive damage, a collision. So although, you know, it could be many things, what hits me right off the bat is this could absolutely be a prophetic semblance of the beginning of the world being destroyed because of a mixture of oil and water, if you will.
That's a great observation, Jim. You know, one of the things we haven't had a chance to do to talk with you is about current events and prophecy, end time prophecy, and so on. One of the things that keeps coming up in our news here in the United States is, and it's even more prevalent across the rest of the world, especially Europe, is the prevalence of homosexuality. Now we are in the process of saying that homosexuals can be open and get rid of the don't ask, don't tell policy. We have an openly homosexual woman who's been nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court. There, for every action, there's a consequence. What does Scripture say is going to happen, at least in general terms, because of our embracing this perversion?
Well, you know what's very interesting about the subject of homosexuality is if you go back and read your history and do some research on all the superpowers of the world, what you will find is you will find that every single superpower known to man that has ever existed as a superpower came down and imploded when homosexuality was at the height. And so we see this scriptural mandate that says that, first of all, no homosexuals or idolaters, fornicators will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it historically bears out that not only, again, what I just said, in a physical parallels to spiritual, not only will they not enter the kingdom of heaven, but they're the very reason that causes countries to fall. Because I believe that it breaks the most basic fundamental law on planet Earth that God created, husband and wife, and he told them to multiply. And so homosexuality flies in the face of one of the very first positive commands that was given to mankind, which to be fruitful and multiply, and you can't do that being a homosexual. And so when you go down that road, what you're doing is you're actually spitting in the face of the Creator, saying that you did not create us in this way. We are going to create ourselves in this way for a completely different purpose. And it really stands face-to-face and toe-to-toe with the Creator. And I don't think that he appreciates that.
Well,
one
Jim, I was,
bit. And so he causes the countries to fall.
I was just at Sodom and Gomorrah, and I just went hunting for brimstone, which is a definite result of the anger of our Heavenly Father when it gets to this point. And when you see that complete, the area that was just a huge city, huge cities in the plain were completely destroyed, burn up, completely just gotten rid of, and the ashen remains and the sulfur balls that we've brought a bunch of them back. Matter of fact, if people are interested in seeing God's wrath, I will have some sulfur balls here at Restoration Fellowship on Friday evening, and we'll actually light one in the parking lot. We'll show you how hot it really gets. It melts so hot it'll melt a spoon when you relight it. This is sulfur that's not found anywhere else on the planet. It's 95.72% pure sulfur with trace metals. It is an unbelievable thing. It's proof of the word is real, and it's going to happen again. He's not going to flood the planet. He's going to do some other things to it. If you want to find out, come to Restoration Fellowship.
Well, Jim, thank you. We love you. I love your work. Love what you're doing. Everybody call in or come in, actually, and let's get these. Look, I can take my time and get as many people, as many pastors together and get these to them one at a time, but you're going to be more effective at getting these truth or tradition DVDs out than me going one by one.
We will have a contest. We'll give a sulfur ball to somebody that really does a good job. We'll just make this.
Listen, you know what? Let me throw a challenge out there. It's easy to give money, guys. It's easy to pledge. It's easy to do that part. It's hard to actually do the work. And I encourage each and every one of you. They got some 1,500 DVDs coming for your area. Make use of them. Everyone come to the studio, get 25 DVDs, 50 DVDs, and pass them out to everyone you know. Stop at every church. Put it on the porch of the church. Whatever you have to do, get the message out, because the word doesn't change people until they hear it.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
Amen. All right, bless you. Come back tomorrow, everybody. And don't forget to call in 503-316-1220. Email us Don at the JCTown or Jamie at the JCTown.com.
Southern